Today is the second Sunday after Easter, and the gospel appointed for today is from St. John's Gospel, the 10th chapter, beginning with the 11th verse. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from Jesus Christ, his Son, our Savior. Amen. What a wonderful picture of our Lord is held before the eyes of faith this day as we hear these words, where Christ says concerning himself, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd cares for his sheep, laying down his life for the sheep. And the good shepherd calls under-shepherds to his service, some of them apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors. Writing to the Ephesians, the Apostle Paul clearly teaches that the apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors share a common calling, that is, for equipping the saints, for the work of the ministry, for edifying the body of Christ. Nevertheless, within this work, these different offices perform different aspects of the work. The prophets proclaim the Messiah who was to come. The apostles proclaim the teaching of the Christ. The vital work of faithfully recording the ministry of our Lord was entrusted to the four evangelists. St. Paul wrote that the household of God has been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Christ Jesus, therefore, the cornerstone, is also the good shepherd, above all shepherds, and he declares concerning himself, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. With these words, Jesus teaches that he is the fulfillment of the Lord's words in Ezekiel chapter 34, where we read, Indeed, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. But as he declares that he seeks out his sheep, he also calls others to serve him in this labor. Thus we read elsewhere in the Gospels, After these things the Lord appointed 70 others also, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. The one who would so send out his servants as lambs among the wolves is the one who is the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, who himself overcame the power of the devil, that roaring lion who seeks those whom he may devour. The point in the gospel is the same as that which we heard last Sunday from John chapter 20. The Lord sends his servants to declare his word, and the measure of the servant is the faithfulness he demonstrates in the face of those who would destroy the flock. The good shepherd, we are told, gives his life for the sheep, but a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. Thus St. Paul tells us in Ephesians 4 that receiving the ministry of those whom the Lord sends, we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. The scattering which the wolves inflict upon the flock, therefore, is the tossing to and fro on the winds of the doctrines of men. Let me say it again. The wolf who catches the sheep and scatters them is the one who spreads false doctrine. Now, this is not my opinion. Rather, it is the Word of God. Consider the words of Acts chapter 20. In the 20th chapter of Acts, St. Paul was speaking his farewell to the pastors of Ephesus before traveling on to Jerusalem. In the 28th verse, St. Paul told them, "Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." These words tell us several very important things. First, the pastors who shepherd the church are those whom the Holy Spirit has made overseers of the church, and thus they are to take heed not only for themselves, but for the whole flock. Secondly, it follows, therefore, that they are not to be hirelings who do not care for the sheep. The Holy Spirit has given them this responsibility, and they are to take heed of that responsibility. But St. Paul teaches even more in the verses which follow. For he declares, "For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch, and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone, night and day, with tears." Paul knew that the wolves would come. Paul knew that some from among the very shepherds would speak perverse things. He had warned them, as he says, day and night, in tears. And yet it still would happen. In this regard, nothing has changed. Savage wolves scatter the flock, and those who have betrayed their calling speak perverse things, calling into question the unchanging word of God. And there are those who follow after them and are lost. One reason that this happens is that there are many who are still being children, even though they may have advanced greatly in years, because they are still being carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. These words are like those of Hebrews chapter 5, which admonishes, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore I say to you, you are living in a nation and culture which has come to be disconnected from the heritage of Christendom which gave birth to this nation and culture. The society around you is sliding rapidly into ever greater immorality and perversity. Surely we can see this in the recent case of Terry Schiavo, where so many of our own people have been eager to deprive a woman of those things which are so necessary just for the basic sustenance of life, food and water. And an overwhelming majority of Americans supported starving this woman to death rather than to feed her and to give her water. How do you respond to this growing darkness? Through denial? Denial gives nothing. It cures nothing. You change nothing through denial, by trying to pretend that it's not there. You actually make things worse. Denial is a major part of what has gotten us, individually and as a people, in such a mess. What about ignorance? Well, that is the way that leads to death. The Lord has called you sheep. Sheep are not lemmings. Sheep hear the voice of their shepherd. They do not blindly jump off the cliff simply because the lemming in front of them did. St. Matthew records in the 9th chapter, "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And then Scripture tells us that he sent out the 12. The Lord, who calls us to pray, hears our prayer and answers it. The one who has compassion sends out his shepherds to care for his sheep. Christ, our good shepherd, was the only one who truly gives his life for the sheep, for he alone made the sacrifice for sin, redeeming his sheep from everlasting death by dying in their stead, carrying the weight of sin upon him in his crucifixion, so that we might be counted as innocent, as righteous, for his sake. The good shepherd cares for his sheep, laying down his life for the sheep. It is God himself who declares in Ezekiel, "I will feed my flock, and I will make them lie down. I will seek what was lost and bring back what was driven away, bind up the broken and strengthen what was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong and feed them in judgment." It is as St. Peter wrote in the second chapter of his first epistle, "For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." The shepherd feeds his flock with his word, with his body and blood. The shepherd brings healing through washing away our sin. But all of this rests upon his sacrifice for the sake of the sheep. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. It is as we hear in the epistle reading, "Jesus committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." There was no other way for us to be saved. The fat and the strong he will destroy. That's what we have heard in Ezekiel. But we who know that we were going astray, he leads us into a good fold and a rich pasture. For he brings us to repentance through hearing his and draws us to himself in faith in Christ when we hear the good news of the gospel. There is no other good pasture, no other good fold. There will be one flock and one shepherd. The sheep hear the voice of the good shepherd. Our Lord declares, "I know my sheep and am known by my own." He marks his people as his own, baptizing us in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and through that baptism forgives our sins. He knows his own, and he sustains them. We hear the Lord's words in Isaiah chapter 46. "Listen to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been upheld by me from birth, who have been carried from the womb. Even to your old age I am he, and even to gray hairs I will carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you." And again, the Lord declares in chapter 49 of Isaiah, "Can a woman forget her nursing child, and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me." He has inscribed his people on the palms of his hands. We read in John chapter 20, "Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord." In his suffering for you, the cost of your redemption was inscribed on his hands, in his side. And through his gospel, the Christ says, "Peace be with you." That is the peace which the shepherds are sent to bring to you. Not the peace of the world, but the peace beyond all human strength, that we would hear with joy those words of Holy Scripture, "For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." Amen. Let us pray. God, who by the humiliation of thy Son did raise up the fallen world, grant unto thy faithful ones perpetual gladness, and those whom thou hast delivered from the danger of everlasting death, do thou make partakers of eternal joys. through the same Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen.